Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into a really dense piece of legislation, the National Land Transport Amendment Act 2023. It was just signed into law in June 2024. And our mission, really, is to unpack what this actually means on the ground. The official line is that it's meant to bring the act up to date with developments.
And that's a polite way of saying it's catching up with two decades of change. When you really get into it, you see two big forces driving these amendments.
Oh, yeah, what are they?
First, there's the tech. I mean, the urgent need to finally regulate e-hailing. And second, there's this major push towards, you know, universal accessibility and safety.
Let's start there. With the tech, that feels like the biggest headline grabber formalizing electronic hailing services.
It is. And this changes the game. Section 66A lays out this new framework. For you, the consumer, the app itself now has to be transparent.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it must be able to estimate the fare and the distance before you even accept the ride. And it has to send you the final fare electronically, plus provide all the prescribed details about the driver.
That seems like a solid consumer protection standard. But here's the question I always had. If a driver doesn't have a valid operating license, how does the act handle that? It seems like a regulatory nightmare.
That's the real pivot here. The law basically makes the app provider the gatekeeper.
I see.
Under Section 66A, the company that provides the software isn't allowed to let a vehicle without a valid license use its platform. It's that simple.
Yeah, so if they don't block them?
Then the liability is on them. It's now a specific offense. So the responsibility moves from just the driver, you know, up to the platform itself.
Right, so we've got the tech side pinned down. But you mentioned the human side of transport. The Act seems to have a new focus there.
A very strong one, yeah. The Act brings in Section 10A, and it puts this explicit mandate on the minister, on all planning authorities, to promote accessible transport.
And also non-motorized transport, or NMT, right? What exactly does NMT cover?
It's basically any way of getting around that isn't a motor vehicle, so walking, cycling, even animal-drawn vehicles.
Wait, animal-drawn vehicles in 2024?
I know, it's fascinating, right? It really shows you the incredible scope of transport needs this law has to cover, from a major city to a rural village.
Yeah, that really does cover the whole spectrum.
It does. And it also defines targeted categories of passengers. So we're talking about persons with disabilities, the elderly, pregnant women, scholars. And planning authorities now have to, by law, make sure they're providing for the needs of these groups.
Okay, so let's shift to governance. How does this all trickle down to the local level and how contracts are managed?
Right. So at the municipal level, we now have the Municipal Regulatory Entity, or MRE. This new body is set up specifically to handle local operating license applications.
The idea being to streamline things.
Exactly. Make the decisions faster and more responsive because they're happening at a more local level.
And what happens when a huge long-term contract runs out? You can't just leave commuters stranded.
That's where stopgap contracts come in. It's a new tool under Section 41A.
A stopgap. So a temporary fix.
Essentially, yes. They're short-term contracts, no more than 3 years, designed purely to bridge the gap. They guarantee that services keep running while the bigger long-term contracts, which are now capped at 12 years, are being negotiated.
Okay, so to recap for you listening, we've got major new regulations for e-hailing, making the app a safety gatekeeper.
A huge step.
Then there's this really profound legal push for universal accessibility in NMT. And finally, a restructuring of local governance to be more efficient with these stopgap contracts to ensure nobody gets left behind.
And that leads to the big question for you to think about. We now have an explicit legal mandate to promote things like cycling and walking. So how quickly do you think that legal text will actually translate into real budget and real infrastructure on the ground in our cities?
That is the question we'll all be watching.